why she's bored. All the stuff that I'm giving her in the first grade level, and she was breezing through it.
A world that's not even going to be for them. You know, no. So it would be beneficial for us to make, put boundaries down. I'm going to give you, like you said,
let kids play podcasts.
Hi, it's Nayella, the host of Let Kids Play Podcast, here with another episode. And today I have a very special guest I'm excited about. I have Adrian, the owner of the Diverse and Active Learning Tutoring Center. And I'm excited because she's a math educator, a math enthusiast, and I just love talking about math. And we're going to dive into the conversation on how she can help us set the foundation. So Adrian, go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience here today.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on your show. My name is Adrian Cox Settles, and I have a long list of things, but let me just say, I'm an author. I am an educator. I have been teaching 20 plus years in a diverse set of environments. I have been in public school. I've been in charter school. I've been homeschooling, virtual school, virtual coaching, and I've taught in college also. Hope I didn't leave anything. Okay. But yeah, and I do love math. I love math. And my zone of genius is helping people learn math. So that's what I specialize in.
I love it. I love it. She has a list of titles, which is why I really wanted her to come on our episode. And in my mind, the diverse interactive learning is because of your diverse background as far as being in public school, college, homeschooling, charter school. So is that where the name of your tutoring center came up about, or is it the meaning something else?
So basically, when I started my business, my original name is Math Does Matter, LLC. That's my original name. However, when I started my math business, I received so many clients. I had to start having other tutors come in to help out with math. And then I had people that wanted to tutor that did other subjects. So we offer a large variety of diverse subjects. That's why I went from Math Does Matter to Diverse Interactive Learning, because of all the services that we offer besides math.
Okay. So that... we're gonna get into the conversation, but that just made me think about, like, there's truly a need. Like, our children really do need help, because you said you were getting so many clients, which means there are a lot of kids, number one, but parents that need help with their kids at home.
Yeah.
So with you starting with math first, and our audience is moms of little ones under 5, and I know you work with second grade and up, but in case you all are wondering, she works with second graders and up, but I brought her on here because we love talking about how we can set the foundation, and with her expertise of seeing the adult version, high school version of a child that has that foundational base set, especially in math, I want to pick her brain. So I'm a little excited as well.
It's okay.
So with you starting the tutoring with math only, what were some of the things or challenges that you were seeing the parents face at home?
Okay. So for the second and up, that's for like the assessments, free assessments. However, we do also help kids as pre-K all the way to college. So we offer that, but as far as the free assessments, that's second and up. But as far as math, and also I didn't say, I used to be a math department head, so I taught teachers how to teach, you know, so that's I taught teachers how to teach. And as far as the younger ones are concerned, I have 3 sons. And I have been a component of making sure they have a strong foundational, educational foundation. And so, you know, math, we did math early, you know, we did decimals, we talked about fractions, everything was like a math project. At the table, someone would want something, a piece of cake. What fraction of the cake did you take? You know, or if we had, like, you know, or far as multiplication or addition, you can have Cheerios, or, you know, you can group them to represent multiplication, or you can have a string, you can take off for subtraction. I mean, there's many opportunities for mathematic, you know, exploration. And so as far as my sons are concerned, we started out very early. That's why my three sons were skipped. They skipped grades in school, and plus they were in advanced classes. And I put my story inside of my guidebook for parents, how to get your child accepted into college. I have a guidebook on Amazon and other platforms. So I start that with starting you off pre-K all the way to the process when they get to be 12th grade year. What do you need to do? What do you need to put in place so that your child get accepted into college? But as far as math, people think of math as being a complicated subject, and it doesn't have to be. Math can be so easy, fun. You know, it depends on how you look at it. Everything can be presented in a mathematical fashion. Yeah. Like I said, addition, you can put anything together in addition and ask your child to add, or you can subtract anything, or you can represent grouping with multiplication. I mean, there's so many different ways to explore math, you know. So I just have a lot of ideas when I teach or when I tutor or help parents. I just have many strategies in here how to do a specific thing, because math doesn't look one way. And when parents try to force their child into learning their way, that might not be the best way for their child. It's going to be a struggle because everyone doesn't learn the same way. And so parents are thinking something's wrong with the child, but really it's something wrong with the way that the parents think, because the child should not be forced to be a carbon copy of the parent. Yeah. That's impossible. So everything the child doesn't do that's not like you, they're going to get punished for, which is torture. So we have a lot of parents and teachers that are forcing kids into ways that they think that the kid is just not getting it. But if someone else shows them a different way, it snaps, because that's the way the child thinks best. So when it comes to math, teachers, parents, they want to force the child into thinking the way they think. And that's doing a disservice to our generations to come, because the kids have a lot to offer. So we shouldn't be forcing them into a box. We should try to figure out how they think and try to facilitate their thinking, because so to get them to a different level, you know, not how we are. You know, we're building robots. Talk like me, walk like me, you know, you say this like me. Our children need to have their own mind, own perspective on things. And it's okay to be different. And as parents have to admit, you know, maybe I might not be the best person that's helping my child. I might have to reach out and get outside resources. And that's where I come in with my tutoring business.
See, and you said so many important gems, because going back to your book, you wrote a book on how to get your child accepted to college. She didn't start in ninth grade. She started at pre-K. So it starts young, before five, which is what I've been screaming to the world at the top of my lungs. It starts early. And then you, I just want to recap so they don't miss it and it don't go over their head, because it was just a lot.
Sometimes I do.
No, you're good. I want to make sure they digest it and get this information, because we're having fun when we chat about these things. We're excited, but I want to make sure that my audience digest it, because we are the blueprint. We are the foundation. Like you said, we're building on the generations behind us, and our little ones are the future. So we really have to make sure that we keen in on what they like, letting them know that they have an opinion, seeing how they want to school. Even with math for us is sometimes cars. We do the 10 frames, introducing the 10 frames with cars. Does he know that it's a 10 frame? Not necessarily, but he knows that we've lined the cars up 5x5. And then it's also teaching grouping and everything else. Shapes, you go a step above, and you talk about the edges and the corners, like you make it fun, which is why I love the play, because it's their love language. And I always tell parents that play is their love language. And as you can see, that I'm not just making something up. Like it goes hand in hand with setting that foundation and then building them to become amazing adults and human beings. Like, okay. Exactly.
So, and I appreciate everything that you're doing, because you're making it easier for people that might be teaching more middle school, high school, and college, because it starts at the early age where the kids are exploring. But some parents take that exploration out when they're being so stern, to where the kids get like, I don't want to learn anymore. Yep. I don't want to do this anymore. And a child should never say that about learning. And if you hear those words, that means you need to step back, reevaluate things, or get some assistance on how to deal with your child, because we don't want our child hating learning because they have years ahead of them.
Yep. So being completely real and transparent. So that was me a couple, maybe like a month ago. I homeschooled 2 out of 3 of my kids. So okay. My first girl was like, I don't want to do school. I'm bored. School is boring. Just all this stuff. So I reached out to Adrian like, hey, I need a little help. Mm-hmm. So she set everything up for us to do an assessment, and that's when I figured out why she's bored. All the stuff that I'm giving her in the first grade level, and she was breezing through it.
Right.
But, okay, let's make sure we get the foundational stuff. And there are some things that we still need to work on, but most of the stuff is on like a second grade level.
Right. So she's advanced. I am so happy for you. You've been doing an excellent job, because when I saw her scores, she is advanced. And I was like, yes.
So the proof is there. So I was giving her like chapter books and stuff. But when it came to like the math, and we're still working on our sentence structure because she doesn't like writing. So we made that more interactive and fun. So she's writing a book about unicorns, because that was the way to get her to write every day. Okay. Her handwriting has improved. So I just appreciate you giving us that assessment and giving us those tools.
Yeah,
so that I can figure out how to get my baby back into the, you know, the fun of learning, the joys of learning, because all my kids love learning. So
Can I add another thing?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to say, I'm glad that you did, you know, take the time to get, you know, to do the assessment, because many students, you know, parents think that a child can't get something, but a lot of times they are advanced. And if you don't challenge the advanced children, they can become behavior problems, whether it's homeschooling or whether it's in traditional school. And like I said, I have been in both. I have homeschooled, you know, my sons, and I have been in traditional schooling. And so the kids that are advanced, they need to have differentiation. You know, I had to differentiate with my students. I had like 3 different levels. And sometimes it's more than, it's always going to be more. But if you have 3, then you're able to really manipulate and, you know, reach everybody. You need to have an advanced level, whether it's gifted or advanced. You need to have a middle level, and you need to have a lower level. Most teachers teach on the middle level, so they're targeting the kids that's on the general level, leaving behind the gifted and talented, and leaving behind the one that has special needs. And so that's why differentiation is so important. And when you're at when you're homeschooling, you can, you know, tailor the lesson for your child. So you don't have to differentiate. You could just make it towards your child. However, your child might be more advanced in math, so you will have to go to like a higher math resource, or they might be struggling with reading, and so you might have to go back. So yeah, differentiation helps with everything. And so, you know, sometimes parents, if they haven't been, you know, really active, and they, you know, haven't been keeping up with different things, then they can fall in a loop of thinking their kids are falling behind. Like I said, they could be gifted or they could have some special needs. So it's extremely important for parents to get their kids assessed academically. And if they think they have special needs, you know, maybe get them assessed, you know, as far as that is concerned. But the earlier you get them assessed, and I don't push IEPs and everything too much, because when they're younger, you can't tell someone needs an IEP just because they're hyper. Boys are going to be hyper. Just because a boy is hyper does not mean he needs an IEP. Okay. Does not mean he's ADHD or ADD or however you want to say. When boys are supposed to be hyper, that's natural. You
that
know,
age group is hyper.
Right. That's right. That's hype. I mean, that's who they are, you know, a lot of times. And if they're not hyper and active and things like that, maybe they might be extra mature, or maybe they're bored. But an average boy is supposed to be hyper, running around, jumping, getting into things, messing things up. That's what they do. You know, I have 3 sons, and all of them are hyper, but they have not been labeled, you know, have not have IEP and things like that. There's some things that I can do to monitor as far as their diet's concerned, you know, because my older one, he was, you know, they wanted to label him and put him somewhere, but his academics was extremely high, so they couldn't touch him. And I knew that's what I had to do, make sure he was extremely smart so that when it came to it, I know he had little behavior issues. When it came to him, they couldn't say, okay, we have to put him here because his test scores was like out, you know, off the charts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, your child, but, you know, it's things we can do as far as dietary things and things we can do as far as challenging, and parents have to be more active. They can't just sit the child in front of the TV or in front of the video game. I mean, you know, you are really losing control when you do that because they're getting motivated or they're getting, you know, all these endorphins and things like that when they're doing that, and you're not going to be able to compete with that. You know, so take the children outside, let them explore grass and flowers and trees, and don't be so quick to put a label on our boys. I'm really proactive when it comes to boys because they get a bad rap. A lot of mothers with girls always trying to compare to boys, and it's unfair. Girls think one way, boys think another way. Just because she's neat and organized and he's all over everywhere doesn't mean anything is wrong with him. That's how boys think. It's us as parents to help them stay organized. I have three sons and they're very successful.
See, that hits home because a lot of parents, especially if they have their daughter first, they're like, oh my God, this boy is completely different. Right.
I hear it all the time. And it's sad the way they try to say, I just don't get it. And they try to let the boy go to, you know, even in high school. That's the time when parents are supposed to really pay attention. For some reasons, parents are under the mindset of when they get to high school, we can let go. When they get to high school, you have to hold on tighter because there's so many decisions they have to make, but they're big babies, you know, they're big babies in almost adult-like bodies. But, you know, we look at the bodies, we listen to the voices, and we think, oh, they're growing up, they're this. No, but they're still big babies. There's so many different influences and things that are going on. It's not time to let go. It's time to grab on because the decisions that they are making at that age is really going to determine a lot of time where they go. If they go to college, if they don't, if they go into a trade, if they don't, if they get on drugs, if they don't, this is the time that we really need to hold on and build those relationships. And I talk about that also in that one particular book.
See, and that's important because a lot of parents, like you said, they let go, and some of them, they try to hold on, but the child has pushed them away because they forgot to play with them when they were under five. They forgot to give them attention and build that bond.
Yes.
When they were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, communicating with them.
Yes.
Things like that. So we can't push them away, and then when they get to high school, like, okay, come here, let's talk. No, that's why they don't want to talk. You build that foundation early. Like, I have an 11-year-old, he's going into this preteen stage, so where he is in his room more often than not. But does he talk to me? Yes. Do we go out and walk on our trail? Yes. He still wants to communicate with mommy. I can't show up to the lunchroom and have lunch with him.
I mean, you can if you wanted to.
I mean, I can. He's like, maybe not. I don't know. Right. He's in that gray area. But he still, you know, he's still choosing to communicate. While a lot of parents, their kids aren't even communicating with them at 8 or 9. And it's sad because of the technology in the digital world. The kids are, like, getting attached or unattaching from their parents earlier than high schools. I feel like that's a very good point. We can't continue to ignore them or even let them go in high school. We have to hold on tight, and that goes into the thing of putting a kid out at 18. They're grown. They're not.
They're not. And, you know, only certain people, I would say Black people, only us put them out at 18. Everybody else, for the most part, have their children there, especially if they're immigrants and things like that. They have their children there to make sure that they have a good foundation. But for some reason, we want to put our children out at 18, and they're not prepared, and then they're struggling. You know, it's not supposed to be like that, because in the past, we've been very family-oriented. You know, if you go back to Africa and things like that, we're very community and family oriented. You know, we picked up some things along the way that's not for us. And so if your child is 18, if they're not you know, going to a college, they might need some extra time to make sure they have their driving, you know, their driver's license, to make sure they have a job where they can support themselves. Why would you put them out if they don't even have a job? At least, you know, you have to put boundaries down. You know, some people might say, well, I tried to tell them to get a job. I mean, you can give deadlines, you know, things like that.
So, that's exactly what was in my mind. You have 6 months to find a job and get out. That's not going to work.
Right. But some parents don't do that. They wait till the birthday come. Okay, birthday. Bye. And it's sad because, you know, we sometimes need more support. We need more support than anybody else, but we fast to put our kids out. I mean, that's crazy. We need the most support given everything that's against us, but we so fast to put our children out into a world that's not even going to be for them. You know, so it would be beneficial for us to put boundaries down. I'm going to give you, like you said, 6 months to get yourself together, you know, and even they might need some guidance. You might have to reach out and get your child a mentor. Okay. Your child wants to be a cosmetologist. Go and talk to a cosmetologist and get her or him to come and tell your child what needs to be done. Right. We can reach out to people that can help our child because they might not, like you said, they might not want to listen to the parent. You don't know anything about cosmetology. What do you know? Go and get a cosmetologist, bring the cosmetologist in, and they will talk to the cosmetologist. Sometimes they need to see someone that is where they want to be. Yeah. And if you're the parent, they might not want to be like you because you might be nagging them and they want to run away from you. You know, you're on their backs. You're saying this. You're doing all these things, but you're not setting an example. You're saying they have to do this, but you're not doing it. And how do you expect the teenager to even want to do it? Because when they get to be a teenager, if you haven't built that relationship, it's going to be extremely hard. That's why when you come in with the playfulness, making it learning, building the bond with the children, and continuing it. You know, you can still play with them when they're elementary. You can still play with them when they're in middle school. And you can still play with them when they're in high school. But there are certain restrictions. You know, we're playing, but, you know, I'm mommy, so it's not going to get disrespectful. You know, we're not going to cross that line. We're going to play, but, you know, it's not going to get disrespectful. So make sure you remember that. have fun with your children because they're going to be gone and some of them never come back.
Never. I mean, never go away back. And you haven't seen them in 10 years.
Right. And you blaming the child. And the thing about it, take accountability for being the parent because most of the things that's going on is your fault. It is your fault. Most of the things that's going on is your fault. I'm sorry. Most of the things that went on with me was my fault. I had to take accountability. Oh, he's not this because of, let me think about it. Maybe because I didn't do that. Yeah. I have to take accountability. I can't say, well, he's this type of child or he's bad or he's that. No. What have I been doing to put in place for my child to be like that? And then some kids are going to go astray. So what type of things did I put in place to make sure I bring them back? However, the parent is in control. You're in control. So if something is going on with your child, you have to take accountability and stop letting the children not even grown, but you're blaming them from everything. And you're having attitudes against your children when you need to maybe get help on how to have a different perspective because you could be totally off and you're losing your child. You're losing your child because you see them as the threat or them as you know, something that's not worthy when it's you need the training or you need to know how to actually build a bond, the basic stuff, build a bond with your child.
That's what it starts with, building a bond and then having those resources and then being mature enough to reach out. Parenting does not come with a handbook. We all make mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes. Right. But we have to reach out for that help in order to make sure our child has those resources, foundational things that they need. So like you said, they stray away, they know to come back. Like my 11-year-old, sometimes the whole struggle with cleaning the room or putting up your clothes, but we've been doing this since she was four. So yeah, you may, you know, try to like bust the system, so to speak. But we coming back to, okay, well, I had a rough week. I couldn't find my favorite pants or my favorite hoodie because I didn't wash my clothes because I didn't wash them either. Right. So we come back to, okay, let me wash my clothes on Sunday. Let me put my clothes up on Sunday.
Exactly.
So simple stuff like that. You set the foundation. They're going to stray because they're learning. They're going through identity issues. And then they'll come back to those foundations that we're trying to help you all set under five.
Right. And like I said before, that's so important. And it is important for kids to have responsibility, have chores, have accountability. You have to hold them accountable. Yep. If you want them to do something, you have to give them, you know, a consequence. Yep. And you can't just be powerless to the video games. Some parents feel that there's nothing they can do, so they let the video games control their house. The video games have more control than they do. When the video game is going on, the parent is in the back seat. The parent is calling the child, "Ma, I can't come right now. I'm in the middle of a game." The parent is in the back waiting. The parent has to get the things, and it's boundaries. I talk about this sometimes also. The parents have to set up what they need done first before any video game gets started. Okay, you can get on the video game at 4, from 3 to 4, I need you to cover this list of things. And after you check and they have done it, okay, go ahead and get the video game. But don't expect them to be on the video game, the non-ending video game, and expect them to get off, because if they get off, they're going to die. And they're going to be like, "Ma, I lost my life because of you." And then they're going to have this. This is like a mental transition they go through because it's really harming them, because they actually was connected to this man or whoever the character was, and then he died because mom was some chores done. Yep. So mom need to get the chores done first. If you do these, and they would do it. If you do these 10 things for, it doesn't have to be 10, okay? If you do these few things first, and that checking is okay, then you can have the video games. And y'all both win. They get the video game, and you get what you need done. But don't think at 5 o'clock and they midway the game, you're going to say, "Jeffrey, I need you to come down here and put your clothes away." Jeffrey going to be like, "Okay, mom." And then a half hour later, "Okay, ma, give me 2 minutes." And then an hour later, you're going to get frustrated because you're going to be like, you're on that video game. And he's going to get frustrated because he thinks he's getting to the end, but the video game is not ending. And so his heart is racing. I mean, it's just really bad for everybody.
Yeah.
So the parent has to put that in place.
So my game, my household is a gaming household, believe it or not.
Okay.
My husband is a gamer. He builds computers as a hobby. My oldest is a gamer. He has a gaming computer. My 4-year-old he's into gaming more than my daughter is. My daughter is into the dolls and stuff like that. But we have boundaries. So there are resources that you can have, like the Family Link if you have Android. And then Apple has a lot of parental things as well. But Apple, you can kind of get through them a little bit more. So I like to use Family Link. It's provided by Microsoft.
Wow.
Where I am in the world, that device can shut off. I have a schedule for that device, so it shuts off within 2 hours of you using it consistently.
I know that's right.
At a certain time, it unlocks at a certain time. So you cannot even use a device before 11 a.m., regardless if I'm asleep, I'm out of town,
that's
whatever.
That's perfect.
You cannot use the device. You have to either use, I have to enter my password, my husband has into his password, or we can unlock it from our phones. So there's no like sneaking on your devices at night and stuff like that, because it's on a schedule. It automatically locks.
Right.
So you have to use the game and the screen time to your advantage. So like you said, with the chores, that's one of the things. So usually on Sundays, it's, you know, get your chores and stuff like that done, and then y'all can play the game at this time. So we've been in our routine. So this time today, because they still needed to wash their clothes, I was like, okay, we'll reverse it. We do the games, you know, at 11, and then you all start cleaning up at 1. 1 o'clock came. I had no issues.
It comes with training. It comes with training.
Yeah.
You know, in order to train, sometimes you have to be the example first. You be the example first. You can't just say make your bed up and expect they're gonna make up a perfect bed. You have to go in, make the bed up, and then take it apart, and then work with them on making the bed up, and then pull away and see if they can do it, and then go in and tweak it. I mean, it has to be training done. You can't expect to say, okay, I need you to make some eggs, and they never even made eggs before, and you don't even make eggs. So it's, you have to do the training because you're expecting them to do something that you haven't even done. And you're punishing them for something that you're not even doing correctly. And the kids are really struggling because the parents are not putting things in place and the parents are being frustrated. But if they put things in place, just like you were today, you didn't have any problems. You didn't have any problems. Some parents like this, I don't know how that happened. How could you not have any problems? My kid is fussing and crying because they have to take time. And that's going to take time. You can't just be busy all the time.
You don't go into your job knowing what to do. The first thing, like, people ask, how is my 7-year-old and 11-year-old? How do I let them use the washing machine by themselves? I've trained them to use the washing machine. I didn't just say, wash your clothes and figure it out. No, it took months. With my son, it took months. And my daughter.
But that's impressive at that age. That's impressive.
Oh, my 4-year-old will wash his clothes.
Yeah, that's very impressive. And the children can learn whatever you need them to learn. Some parents don't want their kids cooking. Some parents don't want their kids, and they over there cooking and cleaning, and the kids can do it. You know, they cooking. I have one of my sons, he cooks. He's 14 now, but he was cooking when he was younger. And when I found out that he had a really good talent for cooking, I pay him to cook the meals for the week. That's how good he is.
I love that.
That's how good he is. He makes money. You say you're 4-year-old? You say you have your 4-year-old getting ready?
Yeah, he cooks. Like, he's naturally a cook. Like, just his technique and the things that he makes. Yeah. Like, he's a natural cook. So that would definitely be my 4-year-old. At 14, okay, make our food for the week. Here's your money.
And he would like it, too, because if he's a natural at it, he likes when he does it. My son, he loves to cook and to bake. He loves it. So I'm just like, why would I be struggling doing this when he loves to do it? He needs extra money.
Did you know that inflammation is the hidden villain behind many health issues? Our guide is packed with delicious recipes and simple tips to help you fight back and thrive. What can you expect? Family-friendly recipes, quick, tasty juice and smoothie recipes that everyone will love, health-boosting tips, easy ways to incorporate anti-inflammatory foods into your daily routine. This guide isn't just a resource, it's your family's ticket to a summer full of energy, joy, and vibrant health. Don't miss out on the chance to transform your meals and your well-being. Plus, explore more with the Empowered Plates, Empowered Lives podcast and Nourish and Flourish Vibes mukbang for tips on healthy habits and lifestyle changes. Don't forget to download it now and make the summer your healthiest one yet.
You know, and he's really fancy. He made some, recently he made the Korean beef egg rolls.
Ooh, and that was good.
And recently he was in a baking competition, came in second place, and he's about to go to nationals. I mean, whatever you put it, at 14, he's really good. When I was homeschooling him, he was cooking. He's really good. He's just really good, you know. So it's like whatever you put, whatever you teach them to do, they will, you know, do it. You know, but you have to believe, because some parents, the children are 18 or 19 and they haven't cooked ever, because I don't want them cooking because I'm the only one that can cook. And so they take on that big responsibility. They're doing all these chores when there's kids running around that's coding, they can do things, but the parent doesn't have, they're not understanding that. That's why they're struggling. That's why they're frustrated and tired, because they want to do everything. They have an ego, like, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. That's really egotistical, you know. If I don't do it, no one else can do it. I mean, come on, you're really, you know, really have yourself on a higher pedestal, whereas though you could be training people to take care of some of that, so you can sit back and relax. Like you, like myself, I can sit back and relax, because we put the time in. You have to put the time in up front. Yeah. But if you're too busy to put the time in, you're too busy working or too busy in school, you're going to see what happens when they get up. They're not going to communicate with you. They're not going to do any chores because you're rarely around to invest any time. So you're so busy working, thinking you got to pay for this and pay for that. But your children are here. That time is important, and you're going to see it. You're going to see what you sold. You're going to see it. And if you're not putting that valuable time into the child, you're going to see it when you have all these issues. You're like, oh, my child, I'm this executive CEO of the company, but my child out here getting locked up. Yeah, they're getting locked up because they didn't have a family that was close. You were so worried about the money that you didn't take time to put into your child, which is more important than just out there trying to, be this person or make this. Your children didn't ask to be here. And so it's very important that you invest in your children. And the more you invest, the more they can help you so you can be their CEO or executive director. You're making it easier for them because you trust, like, okay, what I'm doing here, my child's going to do this, instead of being at work thinking, oh my goodness, I hope my house is not on fire. Oh my goodness, I hope my child's not getting picked up by the police. When you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're always going to think something is happening while you're at home. But if you put things in place, you can feel comfortable and say, okay, I can do this because my child is responsible. They're going to make sure this is done. And that's a piece of freedom that you can get when you put the playfulness in the beginning that you are incorporating. And it's so important that you have this. And I've been referring people to you because they're like, my child is this and I don't know what to do, and they want you to train their child or they want you to discipline their child. That's what parents want. But they need advice on things of what to do with their child because they still have to be a part of their situation. Mm-hmm. They want someone else to take care of it, but someone else can't take care of it. They have to be an active participant in their child's rearing. They have to still be a part of it. And so, someone put their hands up and like, I'm through. I mean, you can't be through because if you say that, guess what? You're going to see what's going to happen later on and you're going to be far from through. They're going to be 40, 50 years old sitting in your house, staying downstairs in the basement. That's when you put your hands up and say, I'm through. You will see if you're through or not.
I mean, even like how I was raised and trying to find myself at 25, 30 and stuff like that, because we didn't have that bond. I remember trying to cook with my dad and my first time in the kitchen and he's yelling at me, do it this way, that way. And I'm like, okay, I just won't cook. So I didn't even learn to cook, and bless my husband because he went through that struggle of me learning how to cook.
Oh, they didn't show you early, right?
24, 25. He pulled me in the kitchen at like 14. But first, my mom wouldn't let me in the kitchen before she left when I was like 8 or 9. But my dad put me in the kitchen at 14, but it was his way or no way. And I don't think like you, so I can't work like you. And I still don't cook the way that you were trying to program me to think. But my four-year-old, he has his own little step stool. He'll go into the refrigerator. He'll pull it out, sit it on the counter, move his step stool over. And they know the distance between the stove. They know how to turn on the stove, but they also know not to turn on the stove if we're not downstairs, me or their dad. They have knives, they have their own kid knives, they have their cutting boards, so they can cut up their own stuff. So like a snack, like my kids fix their own snacks. So he'll go wash the strawberries off, cut them up himself. And he's been doing this since he was like 2. And my daughter, she's been cooking since 3. My oldest, he's naturally not a cooking person, but he will kitchen and cook, like learn how to make simple meals so that you can cook for yourself. But he's the tester. He'll taste
My middle son is the tester. But that's perfect what you're doing. Some parents are too scared to let their child even get close. They know right from wrong when it comes to the stove. You have to teach them that. The kids are way smarter than we can even imagine. They understand things so much, but we are the one that limit our children's thinking. No, you can't do this. No, you can't have this. No, this is not the answer. We limit their thinking where their mind is like this. And they're ready. They're ready to take everything in. They're ready to take everything in, but we are disabling our own children because we like, oh, they can't do that. Your child is cooking, what, you said at two. He's trying to cook at two. Oh, he's preparing.
Yeah, he started with eggs. So now he can fully cook his own eggs. I just turn on the stove and stand right there. And he likes his eggs sunny side up. So he'll he like egg whites now. I'm sorry. He used to like sunny side up. Now he like egg whites. So I'm teaching him how to sort it with the egg whites. I finally got him a little tool to make it easy. But yeah, I just turn on the stove and turn off the stove. But yeah, he's the chef. Like, he'll do scrambled eggs. He loves to make waffles. He has his own little mini waffle maker.
That's wonderful. And, I love it.
Yeah, and like you said, like letting them be naturally them. So like he wanted to do scrambled eggs, sausage, and in an ice cream cone, and I was like, this is so crazy, but whatever. So he made it and he showed my husband. My husband was like, that's a meal at Disney. I was like, I had no idea. I was just like, okay, do whatever you do whatever your mind is telling you to do. And come to find out, that's a whole little waffle cone meal at Disney that he created. I didn't know, but that's what was in his mind. So you just
right, the imagination is limitless. You know, limited. You know, is that, I mean, it's unlimited, you know, their imagination, they can just think, you know, forever. And it's like, we just got to step back sometimes and see it.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, you'll be like, wow, but it only takes, it only will happen if we step back. If we step back and let it happen instead of being on that back. No, don't do that. No, don't touch that. No, don't do that. You know, you're nagging. I mean, no one can grow if someone's just nagging them on the back. Nobody can grow because you're already frustrated and you can't really think because the person is disciplining you, you know? Yeah. And so for you, like I said, at two, if you have your child at two doing all this, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. And like I said, it comes from a mom or dad that really appreciate their child and really have patience with their child and really want their child to be the best person they can be. And the way they can be that is exploring their imagination. However, if they get into something that's not right, of course you can't correct them. But if they're doing this and you're watching from a distance, because you don't have to be on them, you're watching from a safe distance, just let them explore. You'll be surprised. And that's how you have all these, you know, people that are geniuses and things like that. You know, they were able to explore. They didn't have a parent pushing them down. No, we don't do addition like this. We don't do multiplication. You got to carry the one and put down the zero. Everyone doesn't multiply like that. And it doesn't work for most of these children because they don't think they don't think that way, the old way.
Everything that has been innovative has come from a creative child that's now an adult. So why would we stop creativity? Why wouldn't we play? Most of the things that we have as advanced technology and stuff comes from someone playing.
Right. But you know, some parents want to have control. Mm-hmm. And so when you have parents that are egotistical and are really controlled, they want to control everything. Huh?
In our community.
Right. They want to control everything. And when you control everything, you don't get the creativity that could come about. You know, so the kids that are geniuses or that come up with all these creations or that are going to college sometimes, you know, in middle school, you know, their parents, you know, may be exposing them to things, but they do step back some because there has to be some critical thinking going on. They can't just be pushing and expect them to get it. The kids have to actually understand those type of things to get to that level, you know, because when you get to a higher level like that, that comes from you, not from what somebody's telling you to remember or repeat. That's actually coming from you understanding on that level to be in middle school or elementary school and be in college. You don't have a parent that's nagging you. The parent might actually put you with a tutor. Most of them kids might have been with a tutor that understand how people think to get their kids to that level. But it wasn't somebody that was nagging them. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 × 3 = 6. It wasn't that. That was a person that had a golden mind and knew what it took. Step back and let their kids, you know, go ahead. You know, with resources. That took resources for that child to be able to do that. Whether it's a tutor, whether the parent was an educator, you know, to get a child to really think the way they think best and get high SAT scores, it takes a person facilitating that learning without stopping the learning and trying to teach the person to be like them. Because when you try to teach a person to be like you, you're kind of pushing away what's inside of them and you're trying to put what you put in, and it's a lot of confusion. Now they really don't know how to add. First, they did know how to add, but it wasn't good enough because it wasn't the way that mom wanted them to do it. Because they didn't add the way mom wanted them to do it, even though they got the right answer. Mom didn't think, okay, let me see. How did you get this? She said, oh, no, you got to do it my way. You pretty much disregarded what your child saw and the gift that your child had to put in what you thought. And now your child totally confused and don't even like math. because you were egotistical and so controlling. And it's not even about the parent. It's about the child. But the parent, oh, my child. No, it's not about you. It's about the child, what the child can do. You know, so if the child is struggling, and then in the learning process, they're going to make mistakes. And you know, that's a big part of learning. They're going to make mistakes. And you should sit back and just watch them make mistakes and see if they're going to fix it. Okay, yeah. I'm going to sit back. And it takes patience. Believe me, it takes patience.
It does.
Coming from a classroom, it takes patience. Because I told you I taught in the classroom too. So you sit back and you want to correct what you can't. You have to let them self-correct. And then when they're able to fix their own mistake, they just boost up to another level. And all the mistakes they keep making, and they keep boosting up to another level. And as soon as you know, you have a person getting a perfect score on the SAT and getting a full ride to college because you step back and you allow them to make mistakes academically. I'm not saying going doing drugs and stuff like that, but I'm saying you allow them to make mistakes academically, you know, around you. So when they get to school, they won't have to make those same mistakes.
Yep, you have to step back, and sometimes I have to check myself, especially with my oldest, because he does things so fast, and I'm like, okay, slow down.
That's what they gonna do. Yep, 11 years old, that's
typical. Fast. Yeah.
When you get to high school, watch how fast he get, girl. I'm already gonna tell you. He's gonna say, man, I don't have to show notes. He's gonna tell you that. And I'm gonna tell you that he's wrong, because I taught high school, and you have to show notes, or you won't get all of your credit. If any credit at all. So I'm here to tell you.
We've been going through that. Like, and I did the trial and error. Like, I just stepped back. Like, I don't have to write it down. Okay, do it your way. So then he got frustrated because he wasn't writing it down and he was getting it wrong. And he knows what he's doing. He may just be missing like a one here or two here or something like that. So, okay, we did it that way. You're frustrated. Can I help you? Sure. Okay. For the next three problems, write down your steps. Just write down your steps and see what happened. Got them all three right. So then you write down your steps. You easily got to 100. You know what you're doing. You just have to write down your steps so that you can't forget, because there's so much going on in your mind. Exactly. So we do have to step back and check ourselves constantly. We're not saying we're perfect parents. We're just saying that we are aware that there are issues and we address them.
Exactly. And then the thing about it, when you have a child that's really smart in elementary, they do a lot of mental math and they can get it real quick. But when you get to like pre-algebra skills where the teacher wants to see it, because I've taught these grades, I taught fourth all the way up to college. So when you get to pre-algebra, that might be sixth grade, might be seventh grade, depending on the school, the teacher wants, they want to see the steps because you have to start communicating. It's not no longer about mental math. I just know the answer. No, that's not enough. I need you to tell me how you got the answer. And the way you show me that is on your paper. When you write it down, that's a form of communication where the teacher can look at the paper and say, okay, he put a negative instead of a positive. He's having problems with sign numbers. We can look at it. You know, that's what we can look at it. So when my students got to high school, I would only give 50% if they just had the answer and not the steps. So you can have all the right answers and still get a 50. And you know, and some of them got frustrated, but at the end they got it. I'd be like, yeah, I figured you were going to get it if you wanted to pass. Because you have to be able to communicate. Math is a language. You know, so you have to be able to communicate. You can't just say this and I got to figure out how'd you get this? Did you do this? No, I shouldn't be asking you questions. You should be elaborate. You should be telling me in details what you did. And I should be able to look at it like, oh, okay. All righty. You know, so steps are very important. And it starts, I'll say pre-algebra and sometimes before, depending on what you're doing. But mental math dies out after a while. It's good that you're really smart and you can get the answer, but if you can't explain it, that's not going to do us too much, because the process at that point, a lot of times, is more important than the answer.
Yep.
How you got it. How you got it is really important. I understand you got it. Right. I understand you got two. That's good and all. I appreciate that. But how did you get to? I appreciate you got two. That's good and not, you know. But if someone can explain it, we can. You can use that same process towards the other problems, you know. And then when you get to something like a SAT, I speak about that a lot because, you know, we have SAT services and SAT is really important. And SAT has come back. You know, parents are seeing it's not as optional as they thought it was. It's back now. You know, it's coming back slowly, but you have to have critical thinking skills. And that comes with being able to understand something the way you think, not the way your teacher think. Your teacher not going to be with you in the test room telling you put this formula down. You have to conceptually understand the problem and figure out how does this work in your brain. And the people that get high scores, like my oldest son, who has been getting a full ride, he's in his PhD program, still getting a full ride, UCLA, you know, it comes with hard work, believe me, but critical thinking skills is when a person is able to, you know, think the way they think best, put things together and come up with it, you know. And on SAT, you don't have to show steps per se. However, the classes that you had previously, like Algebra 2, Algebra, Geometry, Trigonometry, you have to show steps on those to actually understand what you're doing.
All I need is Pythagorean theorems, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I hear is beyond the numbers. You have to show the proof and which theory goes with this math problem.
Yes, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Yes, the Pythagorean theorem is very important, especially on the SAT. They throw something in like special triangles and trigonometry and a lot of wonderful math concepts, but we ain't going to go too deep into that.
Okay.
But that's a very important concept, though, the Pythagorean theorem. But it's just real important for you, like you said, the playing going on to build that conceptual understanding. So while they're playing, they're able to figure out why is a circle versus why is it. You can ask them that and they can say, Mom, because it's round. You know, yep. Mom, it has edges. You know, they can say different things about different shapes. But they have to be able to explore it, sometimes touch it. It has to make sense. And then when they get to classes where it makes sense, you know, it puts things together. And then they're going to have teachers that really don't make sense. So some of the kids will have to do their own research, you know, learn it themselves, go to YouTube University and learn the concepts. But everyone has to pass somehow. So, you know, you might not actually learn from the teacher, but you take the content and then you might have to do some research on your own. But you still have to get it, you know, you still have to get it somehow.
In some way. And math is all around this. Like when you're talking about, like you got the stop sign, you got the stop lights, you got your snacks. And that's what I tell people. Like
everything.
Complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. Take your interest and then just build on whatever they're interested in. Like my daughter loves to do hair. So her words when we were working on like the fine tuning the letter sounds and spelling different words, her hair clips, I would write letters on them. So her hair clips had letters, so she could clip her daughter's hair with the different letters or whatever word she's trying to spell.
That's nice.
So you have to really keen in on that interest to where you add something. It's always like where you add something they may not like with something that they like to do. And then that helps foster that love for learning. So she's still learning. But she doing her daughter's daughter's hair with hair clips, but she's spelling the words. So she wins and I win. I got the word spelled. She did some hair.
Right. See, that's very being creative. That takes time, you know. So for some people, it might take more time than others because they're not really used to being creative. But since you've been in this field of being, you know, being a playologist, you can see creativity everywhere. Whereas though some parents might have to be trained, you know, you have a sheet of paper there, get some scissors, and I can show you some fractions. You have food there, you know, it's different things you have in front of you, you know, but
they love pizza. Pizza is a fraction.
Oh yes, pizza. That's the go-to default when it comes to fractions. I mean, there's so many things, but you have to get into creativity. How is this? It's math is right there, but how are you going to hit it? At what angle? Mm-hmm. It's always there. You have to practice. Some people have to practice more than others. Like I said, I'm a math person. I don't have to practice as much because I see math everywhere. I speak the language. I eat, sleep, and dream math. So I don't have to be like they're trying to figure it out. But some people might need a little bit of guidance. But once they get started, you know, once they get started, they can get into it like, oh, okay, this is math. You know, this is math. You know, even with hair, okay, there's a 3C and a 4C. You know, it's so much to it. You know, the bundles and everything. The way, I mean, anything you want to go into.
So much science into it. It's so much science. It's a cosmetology.
Right. Certain colors. Colors come from, like, you know, the color wheel. You know, certain colors put together. That's the mathematics. It's the language. You're speaking the language. And the more that you practice the basics of the language, the more you'll be able to speak it and realize math is real world. It's not something that's complex or concrete, but people that's teaching it make you feel that way. That's why, you know, like I said, I've taught teachers, and sometimes people are like this, and this is not math. We're gonna do this. There's so many different avenues to get to a math answer. You go to Egypt, there's a math way. You go to Turkey, there's a math way. You go so many places. Everyone has all these different ways. Why are you putting your child this way? Because you're in control, because you're egotistical, because this is the only way you can control it. Anything else is hard because you got to do a little extra to actually figure out what the method is. But sometimes you need to do that, put that time into your child, and then you can step back and say, okay, they're independent. My two oldest, they are in college, so I can step back. I don't have to do anything. But I was still active until they walked across the stage for high school. You know, because as boys, they're going to be unorganized. You're going to have to make sure their assignments are together. You're going to have to make sure they CCU on communication with the teacher, because they say the teacher's going to put the grade in and the grade hasn't been put in yet. You know, you're going to have to make sure that the book bag is together, because the test paper can be in the bedroom, but they got to turn it in for class. So you're going to have to make sure. And you can't say what
in their forehead.
Right. And you can't say, well, he's 16. Well, he's 14. He should know how to do it. You still have to guide them until they walk and get that diploma in their hand. And then afterwards, you still have to be a support, but it's a different type of support. Because at 18, y'all can actually talk on a friendship level. Yeah. You know, but you don't have to be so hard on them, because boys, you can't. You're going to see it. When they get to be teenagers and you get to be hard, you're going to see it. It's not going to work. I'm already saying it.
They go away.
You got to be like, you got to take a deep breath, because sometimes they get like, you got to take a deep breath and say, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be patient. But you know what friends say, I can still beat you no matter how tall you are.
I was just gonna say, man, you're gonna be waking up.
Right. I don't care how tall, you know, but I'm gonna be patient and understand you're going into your own way, and I need to respect that. But of course, you're gonna be respectful also. But I'm still gonna be here to make sure you're organized, because I already know who you are. I already know you're going to forget your textbook knowing you got an open book quiz the next day. Already know. I already know you got a test on 2 days from now that you didn't study for. So guess who's going to come in and be your study partner? Me. I already know.
And then they usually, how did you know? I have to communicate with the teacher daily.
Always. You know, I already know this, and I'm not going to let you go and fail and tell you should have learned from the lesson. No, because this is the important time where you need to accomplish these things so you can be the person you need to be. I'm not going to just let you fail and you falling behind in grades to teach you a lesson when it's my responsibility to make sure you're good. And when you get of age, when you can go ahead, then I can step back. So now I can step back.
And you have to test it, because my kids are so mature to where I thought I could let go a little bit with my fifth grader and not check certain things.
Oh, no.
I learned that, and because he, I got it.
No, that's what they say. I got it, girl. When they say I got it, when they say I got it, they don't have it. I'm already going to tell you.
I learned. I stepped back for 2 months, and I was like, oh my God, who report card is this? Because my oldest is in school. So now I know that, like, it's tedious, but I have to ask you every day, let me see it. Let me see the work that you did.
You check the grade book. Check the grade book. And every the thing, like, just, what you say?
I said every day I get an email about grades because I want to see it. Like, you can set up the notifications to see the daily grades, weekly grades, or just see it for the report card. Right. I get an email every day. I need to see it every day so that we don't get behind.
Yeah. And the thing about it, you know, I would say we're going to have a weekly check-in. You know, you can do a weekly or 2 week or two week check-in, because you want to someone give them some responsibility, because you don't want to check in every day. That can be a little too much.
So no, not with him. With the grades for myself. So when
you got to. You have to.
Thursday. Yeah, for me, yeah. I see it every day. And we just, you know, we talk about it. But when Friday comes, like, you know, well, you know, I see this was missing.
Right. What happened? Oh, I gave it to my teacher. He didn't put the grade in yet. I was like, it's been a week. The teacher didn't put the grade in yet? CC me. Ask the teacher when he's going to put it on so the teacher can see that I'm CC on it. And I'm going to see when it's going to be time for me to step in. You know, because I give him some wiggle room on his own. But when it's taking too long, I'm like, CC me. And then it's going to be in my hand when the teacher not doing what they're supposed to do. But I would check in like a week or every 2 weeks. I would look at the grade, sit down. I would actually sit down and say, okay, let's see what's going on. And we'll go through it and say, okay, why is this missing? Why was this not high score? You know, we'll go through it and then, you know, we'll check in again maybe a week or two, depending on their grades. But you can't let it go a month. Sometimes they think a month.
You can't. That was me. I let it go a month and a half, and I was like, wait a minute. I let go because I thought we were ready. We're not ready. So I realized we're not ready. But with the check-ins, we're saying check in, but don't be, you know, aggressive with it. So it's not like, you didn't do this. Why you didn't score high enough on this? So it's like, okay, I see we got a lower score, and that's usually not us. Are you having issues not understanding? Is the teacher not teaching it right for you to understand? Right. Do you need me to get more help? Do I need to help you more? Do we need to walk through a problem? Those are the conversations that you're having. It's not like an aggressive, like, you got a little, you need to pull this up by this time. Like, you're having a conversation with a human being, because sometimes they forget that their kid is human. And it's respect goes both ways. So you're having that conversation to see if there is an issue. Now, I won't lie, there sometimes you do have to get a little aggressive after like the third time of having that same conversation. So I really, really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you all have enjoyed this conversation. So Adrian, can you give us some resources and where to find resources? Because she has a plethora of resources. I'm talking about her books about how to get into college, homeschool planners, which are beautiful. She has these beautiful journals for the kids. So just tell us where we can find all this stuff.
Okay. So, and you're going to leave the link below for everything.
Yes, I will have the link below for you all to find all the resources that she's going to tell us about.
Okay. So my tutoring business is Diverse Interactive Learning Tutoring Center. And you could just put in Diverse Interactive Learning Tutoring Center and you'll see it. It'll come up in Google. When you go there, you can go over to my free assessment page. If you want to get your child assessed in math or ELA, you can also go over to my extra services and products, and you can see all my books, all my educational books, alphabet, multiplication, hundreds of books. You can see that. Also, I have a workshop for parents on Thursday. And so I'll give you that link. So I have to show the pros and cons for homeschooling and traditional schooling. I'm going to do a workshop on that on Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. EST time. Okay. And I'm all on social media, Diverse Our Learning. And yeah, that once you go there, you will be able to see everything.
Okay, well, I put her IG below so you can see it in the orange box. Adrienne, thank you so much for taking out time to have this conversation with me, to let our audience know how important it is to set the foundations, how it starts early, and what it looks like on the other side as far as an adult, high school, and middle school, and just giving us, like, I felt the energy through the screen about math, which I love.
I had to contain it.
But thank you so much. You all, thank you for joining us on another episode of Let Kids Play Podcast. Again, you can find all the resources Adrienne mentioned below in our description. If you're watching, or sorry, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you go to the show notes and you can find the links as well. Thank you all for joining us. Until next time.